If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Did you hear your promo?
I did. I love my promo.
You did hear
it's my ringtone. Call me. Call me.
Leroy.
Hit me up and hear me go. Point of view. It's
Leroy.
Yes.
Hi, Leroy. You're obviously sunshine at this time of
yes.
the day.
Yes. 9 p.m. is my time.
On a Thursday. So welcome, welcome. And how is your week?
It's been a short week, thankfully, but nonetheless very busy. But I enjoy busy times.
So you've been watching movies?
I've been also rewatching old series so that I have context for new ones, the new seasons of things. So it's been very interesting and doing lots and lots of research. My job is like 40% research, 60% watching.
Okay. Let's start at the theater.
Yes, let's start at the theater.
At the Market Theater?
At the Market Theatre. So what I've been doing has been rewatching Shalembe to prepare for two.
Me too.
Right? Oh, and the detail is incredible. But also at the same time, serendipitously, the Zulu is on at the Market Theatre, mm-hmm. which does the same thing as Shagalembe, which chronicles sort of the history of the Zulu kingdom. But it's done very differently because remember that stage has such massive limitations as far as set is concerned, but it also gives rise to very diverse devices to actually use to tell the story of the Zulu nation. Absolutely amazing. It's been one of my favorite ones because it was originally done as a solo piece. Can you imagine the solo piece, a solo piece telling the history of the Zulu kingdom?
Artists can do amazing things.
I mean,
if you just allow them.
As we've just witnessed with Medisa. Yeah. So that is happening at the Market Theatre. It also puts in some interesting spotlights into parts of the Zulu traditions and some of the leaders that are not as popular as the others. So, you know, you've got Shaka, you've got Umpande and all the other ones. But you also get these wonderful moments where we get music coming in to be infused to make it. It's not a musical though, although it passes off as one, but it's a very wonderful historical text. It is happening at the Market Theatre from the 6th to the 22nd of June.
So you touched a little bit on Shaka Ilembe.
Yes.
So what was your original thought when there was English in the movie?
The movie. The movie. So for me, it was very interesting because as much as we're telling a story, we have to make it accessible. What I appreciate very much about, and I was saying this to a friend of mine who I was watching the first episode with, that what I really enjoy what they've done now is there's no English words, dialogue, but there's a lot of translation in the subtitles. So, for instance, when they talk about...
That's how it was supposed to be in the first place.
Exactly, my point, exactly. But I really appreciate also... So, for instance, when you go to all the regions, right, you go to the various palaces, right? Mm. And they refer to them that as the Zulu Palace, the Palace of, you know... And I really enjoy that because what it does, it draws a parallel between how we, as a Zulu nation... have always been a very well-established, well-organized community. It wasn't a community that was sort of, you know, haphazard and was just living like nomads. There were structures in places. There were governance structures. There was, you know, a whole community of people who knew their place. And for me, the English was meant to be an ease of access through the subtitles. Mm-hmm. But we have very many movies that are watched. Right now, we've got the Tribeca Film Festival happening.
I'm all for subtitles. I just thought about the dialogue, especially Shaka Ilembe, the first one.
Yeah.
And it was jarring for me that I just wish it was just all in isiZulu.
So are you saying with the coming in of the Europeans?
I haven't seen the second one. So I don't even know what they've done.
So season one was very good at telling the story. Mm. We do get the Europeans coming in and we get to hear them with their English text. But the community... Very true to speaking in the language fully. I also find it very interesting because, you know, some words we've sort of taken on and have made them Zulu-fied and then English-fied it. And it's so interesting. Like, you see someone like Asthandiwe Goroge, for instance, who is fantastic. Mm. You know, Uthandekaton, wonderful at being able to tell the story as Umkhabai, and the words they use. And then you have Lemohang, who is not a Zulu man, but who's playing the role of Oshaga. So I really appreciated how true they stayed to the language, to the people, and the customs. And you can tell why it took so long. I mean, I'm not mad at all that it took that long. So I'm having a great time right now with it.
Okay, F1 movie.
Okay, so I want you to know that you've seen this movie before. Okay. I want you to know that there's never been a movie that like this that you've seen it and you understand it completely, and no part of the dialogue or the writing is going to scare you.
But will I watch it just for Brad Pitt?
You'll watch it for Brad Pitt. You also watch it for Javier Bardem.
I don't know. In fact, I'm saying I'm not sure about either of the two.
Brad is looking older.
I don't mind him looking older.
Oh, okay.
Because we've seen people pretend like.
Yeah.
We've seen what those procedures have done.
I saw a video of Simon Cowell looking.
I don't mind him looking older. Christian. I mean, he must just look his. That's fine. He's looking his age, and I have absolutely no problem.
And in this movie, he's meant to look older. He's meant to look like a guy who was good in the 1990s, and he was this very big F1 star for a very short period of time, and then he sort of fell off, gambling, drugs, and the like. And now he's coming back to sort of help Javier Bardem's character to reestablish this new F1 team that he has, because sort of in trouble, but there's a new rookie who's there and they need a co-driver.
Yes.
You know.
Let's talk about him.
Yeah.
Your take on him?
On Javier, on the Idris.
Idris.
I think it's very interesting. He's young, so his name is Desmond Idris. Very good looking. I think his acting, so some of the criticism has been that they found very strong actors were able to play the archetypes well.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the strong actors, the archetypes, as what I said to you, it's you've seen this movie before. Mm. You've completely seen it before. This guy has been his washed
Fast
out.
Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious, every single iteration of the Fast and the Furious.
For me, was the Fast and the Furious.
Absolutely. Interestingly enough, Lewis Hamilton, executive produced this.
All
so,
right.
Yes. He EP'd this, and he also helped write.
Really?
Yes. So it's
so interesting.
Absolutely. That's why the racing is absolutely phenomenal. And the jargon, the technicalities, for people who are F1 fans, you'll not be disappointed. You know, sometimes it's like watching a medical drama and you have Leroy as the doctor.
So did he kind of take the liberty of making Damson's character a little bit...
Very much like him.
Very much.
Very like him. First of all, he's black. And secondly, he has a British accent, which is...
I was wondering. Okay.
But also ridiculously good looking, a very stubborn streak. But the twist in the movie here is that the people who are meant to be helping Brad and Javier bring this whole idea back to life are actually internally sabotaging it. And that's where we start seeing the internal... As I said, it's a movie you've seen before.
Yeah.
But it is, you will watch it because the racing is phenomenal. The technicalities are really phenomenal. The CGI is epic and out of this world. And as a result, you'll watch it and you'll leave feeling satisfied, albeit not surprised.
Okay.
Echo Valley? Echo Valley. Okay. So... Oh, Echo Valley. How do I judge thee? Okay, so Julianne Moore is a mom. It's a thriller, so you're not going to like it.
You should have started right there. You should have started by saying it's a thriller.
It's a thriller. It's a thriller that has like 15 storylines going for it. But at the crux of it, it's really a story about how far a mom will go to protect her daughter, even when the daughter's going through a wayward path. But also you start seeing how much family might be the big manipulator in your life. So we have an interesting story. Story where the daughter herself, so Kate lives in this whole ranch. She's grieving the passing of her wife, so it's a lesbian couple, and she then is dealing with this daughter of hers, and so she almost takes all the grief, the unrequited love that she couldn't give to her partner who's now passed, and then really passes it on to her daughter. The daughter then does a massive scam, sort of extort money from her. It is absolutely interesting. It's on Apple TV, and what's interesting about it is that Julianne Moore does a very good thing where she knows how to get empathy out of people, and you'll end up feeling very, very sorry for her after you see what happens. But also, it is not for the faint of heart. You must have a bit of a strong stomach for it. It's Echo Valley. It's on Apple TV from the 6th of June.
Inside?
Okay, so Inside is a story that's itself very confusing, but it actually is quite a fun story to watch because you're watching how every perpetrator has had something perpetrated against them. Mm-hmm. So that's the premise of the entire movie. So this young man who ostensibly killed someone when he was 11 years old and then went straight to prison. And he's been in prison all the way through, and now he's about to turn into a major, and so he's been moved from juvenile into big boy prison. And when he gets there, he starts interacting with a different breed of people, one of them being the sort of father figure who looks after him and then needs him to do a favor because he himself is in a problem, a bit of a pickle. And then on the outside, you've got someone coming in who is sort of notorious for doing whatever he's done outside, and all those worlds come together. But what happens is that all these storylines then flash back to how they got there, how they became these mega sort of criminals at such a young age. It's absolutely mind-bending. And you can't help but empathize, you know, with some of the characters because, yes, it is prison, it is very gory, it is very wild, but you also realize that they were children who had things done to them, and as a result, they acted out. And unfortunately, the way they acted out was reprehensible in the eyes of the law, and there's a punishment for it. It's called Inside, and it's in theaters as of tomorrow.
And the last one.
It's Ariel. You're going to love this. This is a wonderful story of a boy. It's animated, so this is the one for the weekend for the kids. It's an animated story about this young man who doesn't feel like he belongs. He wants to be abducted by aliens, and no one wants to abduct him. And he's so mad. Until he actually gets abducted by aliens, and he has to be our frontline fighter between us and the aliens and to save the world as we know it. It is beautiful. It's well written. It's also for smart kids.
Yeah.
So it definitely isn't a bluey. It's a bit older, but it's absolutely amazing, especially for kids, because there is this organization that sort of oversees interplanetary sort of interactions, and they need a hero to go and stand, and they think that he is the leader of the world, of planet Earth as they know it, and so he's the one who's actually tasked with looking after the world that didn't, you know, he didn't find to be home, but he does find a home in the broader galaxy. It's on in theaters as of tomorrow.
Leroy, always lovely. See you next week.
See you next week.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.